In accordance with the review and approval of the meeting minutes for September 21st, is there a motion or a question or an issue?
I can motion.
So move approval. Now move approval. A second. We're good. All right. Moving right along, the next item on the books is public comment, and since the public is relatively quiet tonight, we'll pass right through that one. And new business, moving on to item 4.1, Transportation Advisory Committee member Sahiti is being introduced to the group.
Yes, well, good evening, everyone. I'm Darlene Amaral. I'm the transportation analyst here at the City of San Ramon. And tonight, I would like to introduce a new TAC member, Sahiti Karmapudi. After Mark Baldick resigned from the TAC back in February, there was a vacancy on the TAC. At the July 25th City Council meeting, Ms. Karmapudi was appointed to TAC for the term starting August 1st, 2017 through January 31st, 2018. So I would like to welcome Sahiti.
Hi. I'll be here for 2 months.
Yeah. Counting today, 3.
Yeah, I can't do next month's meeting. So.
That's it for me.
Welcome. I've got to ask, what got you interested in joining this group of rowdies over here?
I work in San Francisco, and I just started my own consulting firm, but before that I had co-managed a program with the City Planning Department called Pavement to Parks, and saw that there was an opening, and I'm actually going to be moving to San Francisco in a few months, so I thought I would try to get back to my community before I left.
Good for you. Well, welcome aboard. Why don't we introduce ourselves around just so she's got the right body.
Right moment, I'm going right.
Yes, why don't you?
Satna Bhala. I joined committee last year, and I have my own business called Frontside. We focus on transportation and ideas implementations.
Hi, I'm Al Pacheco. I've been in the committee, I think, about 2.5 years, 3 years, representing the Chamber of Commerce. I've been a resident in San Ramon 94, is that 27? Having a great time.
And I'm Bob DuPont, and I'm just a local community member. I've been in San Ramon since there were caves in the background.
Yeah, they're gone.
It's a long time. Now they're homes. I'm just a citizen. I've been involved in those city issues for quite a while.
I'm Amy. I'm part of the Transportation Division staff, and we've met before.
Jeannie Benedetti, Planning Commission.
Jeff Osterhout. Been in almost 2 years.
Wow, time flies.
I know.
I told Patel, I guess less than a year, but I've been in San Ramon for about 9 years.
And PJ Du, also a staff in the department, and I oversee CFL School Residential Traffic Calming Programs.
And I've never gotten the interpretation, but I think PJ stands for trouble.
Spell backwards.
That's what it translates to in Punjabi.
See? I had it down. All
right.
And as you now know, they've got a bunch of characters here.
Yeah, you're the lead.
And we have Susan.
Yes. Oh, and we have our
Susan Tienfong. Yeah,
Senior Advisory Committee, Susan Chen in the back there. Okie doke. All right. Again, welcome. We enjoy having you here. And let's move along to item 4. There's a different. Okay. No public for public comments. We'll move on to the speed limit ordinances. PJ.
Great. Okay. So I think. Maybe a couple of you were here back in 2012 when we did the speed limit ordinance update, but we're taking another one to City Council, and we thought before we take it to City Council, it would be a good first step to bring it to all of you, because of course once these changes take place, there are going to be lots of questions in the community, and you guys are sort of our ambassadors, and we wanted to make sure you were armed with the information so you could go and kind of educate the general public, if you will. So of course, quick background, and I know we went over this recently when we talked about Doherty Road and speed limits and such, but for San Ramon, there are two types of roadways. There's the prima facie roadways, which have the 25 mile an hour speed limit, school zones, residential, so forth. And then we have a good majority of our collector and arterial roadways that require speed surveys to validate that posted speed limit. So when you travel down Bollinger Canyon Road, for example, today, and you see a 40 mile an hour sign, in order for a police officer to use radar or LIDAR and enforce that sign, there needs to be an engineering and traffic survey, or what we call for short, the speed survey, on file. And the speed survey is basically the California legislature's way of saying that you, the motorists, actually get to decide what the speed is of the roadway, so that cities can't artificially set low speed limits and basically write tickets and generate revenue. So when you go down Bollinger Canyon and you see a 40 mile an hour, that means that at some point city staff members went out and we conducted that survey. And the way that the survey is done, it's done during off-peak times because we want free flow activity. We don't want congestion or a situation that might, you know, what was it, the bridge gate in New Jersey where you set up traffic control and all of a sudden everyone's going 25 miles an hour. So we definitely try to steer clear of any encroachment permits, any utility work, any enforcement, radar trailers. We just want people to be natural. How would you drive on Bollinger Canyon if you had no restrictions? So essentially, all of you vote with your pedal. That's basically how we describe it. We take a sample, a minimum of 100 cars, usually 200 cars, depending on the type of roadway, and then we take the 80th percentile of those vehicles. And that is usually the speed. There are certain times where, say, the 85th for Bollinger might come out to a 45. Our traffic engineer might say, 45 seems a little high. I have a 5 mile an hour discretion. I can set it to 40, but they can't go any lower than that. There's just that one 5 mile an hour discretion. But in order to give that 5 mile an hour reduction, they really have to justify conditions that are either hazardous, unsafe, not readily apparent, things of that nature. Now, in the past, we've exercised that 5 mile an hour quite frequently, to the point where we've actually had the commissioner at the traffic court pull our officers aside and say, you know, when I go through your book, I notice you guys use 5 miles an hour across the board, you know, and she's actually called out and said, are trees really a condition that's not apparent, you know, or is a crosswalk really a condition not apparent if it's marked properly and people have warning? So we've kind of gotten our hands slapped in the last few years and been told that we can't just apply it universally to all streets. If 45 is what the prevailing speed is for Bollinger, we need to start setting it at 45 and only use that 5 mile an hour reduction in cases where it truly is hazard or a condition not apparent. So a condition not apparent, according to the commissioner's books, would be, say, you have a daycare facility, no marked crosswalk, a generator on the other side that's attracting those kids to cross, like an apartment complex, so you wouldn't expect it. But the minute you mark that crosswalk, you put up the signs, it's now apparent to everyone that there's a crossing there and you should slow down. Another thing might be a bus stop where, you know, on Bollinger is actually a location where the bus just stops in the middle of the travel lane. So that, again, would be something that isn't apparent because you could be traveling right behind the bus, all of a sudden it just stops in the travel lane to load and unload. So things like that, whereas we've been pretty loose and have said, well, on Norris Canyon, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., there's a lot of shade from the trees. 5 mile an hour reduction. And so she's called us out of line and said, that's just nature, like. So where we are at today, and we did this, you know, back in 2013, is there are a couple of roadways that are listed right here in the middle of the staff report that are currently either do not have surveys, for example, the new Doherty Road, or some of them need to be updated in the sense that we went out and conducted a survey and the speed has gone up. So the speed at which motors are driving has increased by 5 miles per hour, so now we need to make that change. So these are the roadways listed. We wanted to make sure you had this information, and it was very clear that if a police officer were to issue a citation using a radar, which is the common way of issuing citations, pacing is pretty difficult for them, especially the ones that are in the vehicles, because they say people see them. It's not one of those things where, you know, you can fool somebody and pace them and give them a ticket. It's pretty difficult to do. So they love using the LIDAR and the radar. from certain areas. And if they were to give a ticket and this person were to go to the courthouse and argue it, it would immediately be dismissed because there's no speed survey on file. So it's very important to have a speed survey on file. Second thing is, and one of our officers brought this up back in 2013, was say an officer pulls somebody over for speeding on Crow Canyon where you have an expired survey. Uses the radar, pulls them over. While he's writing the ticket, he realizes they've got drugs or a kidnapped person in the car, things of that nature. Well, when this actually goes to trial, it would be thrown out because the whole reason for that person being pulled over was actually a violation of their civil rights because the officer didn't have a valid survey and therefore had no reason to be using radar. And
that
so this
is
was
ridiculous.
Actual, yeah, this was actual testimony ridiculous. From our officers back in 2012, 2013 when we brought this forth. Because back then, our city council hadn't done this in years. And our city council was like, we can't raise speed limits. Public perception will be that we're letting people speed. And when the officers went up and told these things to the city council, they realized that there's a lot more to it than just, you know, a complaint about the speed going up at 5 miles an hour. So.
That's incredible.
So very, very important. Jane, any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Yeah. A couple of quick. First of all, is this the list? I mean, the other streets are we're cool on
so
the rest.
So we have about 70 streets now that require speed surveys because they don't get that prima facie 25 mile an hour automatically. And of those, a majority of them are surveyed, and the surveys fall within. You know, we surveyed it. It said 35. It's close to 35 today. No change. We're good.
Yep.
These are the only ones that either never had a survey. For example, Bishop Drive has been there for like probably 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
And we realized we've never surveyed it. So we're just now catching up 30 years later, and we're going to get a survey done. But I think it was just one of those roads where there's never been a complaint, and PD's never been out there to enforce, so we thought we'd catch up. Bollinger Canyon Lake Outdoor Road. That section was 2-lane at one point. It became 3-lane. You know, everything around there, the development has changed so much. It now warrants a 50. I mean, when we did the survey, everyone was going about 52 miles an hour, so we narrowed it down to 50. Camino Ramon, where the old police station used to be, it's marked at 30, but it needs to go up to 35. PD's been out there. I mean, that's actually one of their hangout spots for giving citations, and they said they can write tickets all day long. So when we told them speeds were going up from 30 to 35, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. Everyone's just used to going 40 because that's what the section is beyond Norris Canyon. That even though the characteristic of the road changes because you've got the crosswalks and stuff, people are still speeding.
Even with horizontal curves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they said they hit all the time. New Doherty Road, of course, was never established, so that's going to be a 50 mile an hour. So it'll be 50 al, basically, from the water fountains at Crow Canyon all the way out to Dublin City limits.
City.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, on page 9 of your report on the, about a third of the way down there. You say, according to the CVC engineering and traffic surveys are valid for 5 years from the date of the survey. Does that mean every 5 years we have to redo them?
Exactly.
Or so if we do them and now the police are able to get people on radar and then 5 years goes by and their game's off, they got to start all over again unless they get the survey.
What we've done is instead of having all of them expire at the same time, we've staggered them so that we typically have, like, say, 10 that expire every year. And we try to make a schedule where we get it done about 6 months beforehand, just so we have enough time for everyone to review it. In case there is any changes, we can get it done.
Yes, in some cases it could be extended, so you have the ability to say on this road.
So we can go up to 7 or 10 years. So for example, San Ramon Valley Boulevard. We had actually let the survey expire, this section from, I believe, Norris Canyon to Montevideo. And they were still able to enforce using radar because they were able to say that there are no new developments within that section. There's no new housing, no traffic signals, no new lane additions, anything that might have changed speeds. And as long as an officer can testify that there are no changes along the roadside that would have altered the speed, they can actually extend it 5, 7, 10 years. So.
Okay.
I have a question about Morgan Drive. I mean, it has radar, it has a speed sign, so why is it that it's not ever been established, and why do that if it's just going to be 25?
So according to FHWA guidelines, certain, and you guys might know this better than I do, but certain residential streets, when they're longer in length than, I can't remember what the criteria is, they then don't fall under prima facie. You then have to go survey it. So it was just one of those that we didn't catch all these years.
So you did all the warrant work and stuff, but never did a survey?
Yep. And then one day PD said, oh, you know what we realized? It's longer than so many, you know, a mile and a half.
Okay.
That is it. So, yeah. So, if anyone asks you why speed limits are going up, you let them know that they voted for it with their prevailing speeds, and that if they want to see police enforcement, they need to do the survey. That's just the bottom line.
That's interesting.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, who needs to do the survey? We need to do the survey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That was quite a report, by the way. It was very, very informative, and I had no idea that kind of stuff was going on until I read this report.
So next up, we'll take it to City Council in January, and then 30 days later, it should get adopted, and 30 days from that point, they will be enforcing a new Doherty Road. So all those folks that are getting away right now, going 60, 70 miles an hour.
So
during that 30-day waiting period, we'll start switching out the signs.
I have one quick question. So the process, if I go to court and I want to contest it, right away they want to find out if the judge asked for that, is it warranted or not, or is it something that
right. So for every jurisdiction, they've got a binder with all 50, 60, 70 speed surveys for that.
They'll look at that, the speed contested. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So when our officer goes to court, the first thing they do is they walk up to that binder and basically pray that the survey's there. And if it is, they pull it out, and as soon as they're called up and, you know, the person with the ticket's called up, the first thing that's asked is there a valid speed survey on file? And once that's there, it's, you can fight it all you want. But if it's not there, it's dismissed like that.
I'm sorry, who do you say asked that? That question, is there a survey on file? The person that's contesting?
The commissioner.
Okay.
The judge, yeah. That's the number one question. So yeah, insider information. If you ever get a ticket,
get a ticket on these ones here. I'm gonna stop.
Is there a speed survey? If there isn't, it's a free pass. I've had employees here that have actually gotten pulled over, and before the officer even writes the ticket, they're like, "Oh, by the way, what does the speed survey say for this road?" And right away, the officer knows. Okay, this guy knows this stuff. Mm. And then they're like, I'm going to let you go with a warning today. Because it's a waste of time for the officer to go all the way to court just to find out the city never did their due diligence and put a survey on file. So, waste of time and money for the officer.
So now we know secret information.
Yep.
Not to be out of this room. We all swear.
All right, Flash.
We have pictures and tapes.
Thank you,
PJ. That's quite good. Any questions or comments before we move on? Okay. Then it seems like the next one would be unfinished business, North Bellingham.
Okay, so the saga continues. You all have been up to date on North Bellingham and the parking situation, what's been going on out there. So last we spoke, we wanted to survey the residents, right? Because we figure we've only heard from one person, Mr. Jones, right? Let's find out how big of a problem is this for everyone else. So we did send out a survey to 200 homes in that community. And of the 200, we received about 51 responses, so 25%. It would have been nicer to hear from more folks, but we'll take it. And really, to summarize, I mean, they all agreed that there is a problem. Nobody wants it moved to their front yard.
It's funny how that works.
Right? But they still want us to do something about it. So we come to you again with no real solution, because there really just isn't that winning, you know, fix for the roadway. Because if we were to do permit parking or no parking on North Bellingham, they're definitely going to go right in front of those people's front yards, which is so much more of a hassle to come home and find a stranger's car parked in front of your house every day than it is to just leave it on that side yard. But now that we've sort of asked these questions, now people are saying, well, do something about it, right? Either go to the apartment community and tell them to address it, or do something with permit parking and so forth. So the only next step we can think of is let's find out how many folks would be okay with permit parking in front of their home. Because whatever we do in North Bellingham would shift it to their house. They don't want that, which means they would then have to have permit parking in front of their homes, and then we would do something on North Bellingham. So it would have to be like a combination. So maybe do 4-hour parking on North Bellingham so people can still park there when they have parties and events, but then do permit parking in front of their homes. So that survey is actually, it was included in your packet. It's gonna go out first week of December. We're trying to get it in before Christmas break, so give them those 3 weeks to turn it around. And then we'll bring that data to you, and then we'll basically have information for 2 different questions, 2 different surveys, and we'll brainstorm how to solve this problem.
I was gonna say, is there anything you bet would be the case that they're gonna end up on, or no,
no,
I wouldn't think so.
No. And I think what we'll also do is, you know, Lisa and I should go and meet with Highlands Point Apartments again and really try to apply pressure and see.
Try that out.
Yeah. And one of the things somebody brought up, one of the residents who I said had called, they said, well, you know, they're charging for the garage parking spaces. And they said, well, if those parking spaces are part of their overall parking requirement, they shouldn't be charging for them. It should just be open, free parking, right? Because you're effectively, you're artificially lowering how much parking you have by charging for some of it. So that's one of the things we're going to research and look up, see if those garage spaces in fact are part of the overall requirement. If they are, then I think we have a case, you know, to go sit on the safe side charging. Make it just open to everyone. So.
You know, this came up at our last planning commission meeting, garage parking, and I can see where it being for the 43 homes out in the middle of frickin' nowhere, why there might not be a parking overflow problem because they're single family homes. But I think the Planning Commission could benefit from knowing about what maybe unintended consequences are happening, even though this was done by the county.
Yeah.
Because as we look at new infill projects, this is an issue. And I heard that, you know, wanting to put conditions of approval that required the parking garage to be used for parking, there was comments about how do you enforce that. And so I think some education might be warranted in regards to the issues going on in the community in regards to after something's built and what people are doing with their cars.
Yeah.
So I just throw that out there.
Yeah, and we can definitely work with planning.
Because there's nothing right now on the agenda, but you know, if the Golden Skate were to go in and
kind of like a lessons learned, right, from all
yeah,
these variances.
And as these developers draw upon the density bonus laws, mm-hmm, which allow for reduction in parking, this is a consequence of that. That I think, as I said, education could be benefited in regards to what actually is happening. You know,
yeah,
it's not the high school. This is actually development where people are living, that there's a clash in regards to the automobile.
Exactly.
I guess
is there nothing that can be done about the storage vehicle routine where they just park a car in there and it's stored up to the top where you couldn't drive it?
Remember I showed you those pictures? I mean, PD would go out there and mark the tire, and then you
see the mark just got moved. But isn't there a way that you would just ticket them? Forget the marketing, the tire, if they can't move the vehicle.
You know,
it's totally
something. It's very short, though.
72 hours they can park on any public. So we would have to change that, right? And then increase enforcement, which is one of the things we're trying to do, right, is implement, say, 4-hour parking or 6-hour parking or no overnight parking. So we're trying to get around the 72-hour rule, mm-hmm, so they can't get away with that. But these guys have, I mean, it's the same cars for years.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
They've
they know the game, so they're playing on us, is what it amounts to. It's the same deal everywhere.
Exactly. And that's one of the challenges, even with 4-hour parking, though. They could literally just move their car up,
They
have gotten around the 4-hour parking.
That is correct.
That is so true. Like I said, we don't
have...
But
they're very
That's more painful
than...
That is more than
3 days.
Yeah. Say,
and they actually have to be home almost.
And
that
is so
true. Worker. Right.
So maybe make
this
it 2 hours.
It's more difficult. I mean, 2 hours will be ideal.
Right? Because who's going to be home...
And doing every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours.
Yeah.
But also, how much enforcement will there be?
Right.
Because if they just realize that nobody's out there enforcing it,
they're
just
going
to be... I think we should put in pay meters. Earn some money off of this.
Revenue.
So more to come after the survey.
For sure. That's one of those situations where ain't nobody going to be happy with the ultimate result of it. It's just one of the joys of working for the city, I know. Okay.
Why is it that you don't circle the entire open square? Because you could park on the side that you're not proposing and just walk across the square. Is it? What was the reasoning for not doing
the whole thing? We just felt like that's kind of the cutoff for people who take Windermere Parkway to exit versus Albion to exit towards Bowling.
But you're talking people from here coming this way.
Yeah.
Has nothing really.
And then I live right here. We figure around the park could kind of be public parking.
Okay.
Leave it open.
Hmm. But half you did, half you didn't.
Yeah. We can actually survey all around the park for the next one.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think it's an issue there. I mean, you know, I live in that.
But once you restrict all this, it may become
an issue. Yeah, then it's
going to push everything. Yeah. I live on Casella Way, and the people next door to us own their house on Airbnb. So there's always random cars in front of our house. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens with the permit.
Is there a minimum or maximum cars per house? We don't have that. We have for dogs, but not for cars.
Yeah, exactly.
And then also for a new development, when they submit the plans, do they actually give an estimate, not an EIR, but how many parking stalls they need for this development?
There's an ordinance. The city has a parking ordinance.
And haven't they surpassed that already?
Well, what happens is the state, our legislature passed laws that say that a developer can come in and have, I think it's 25% less parking as a project waiver. So the parking standards of the city are waived and new standards come in that are far less than what's required. So you may have the same number of cars. So a two-bedroom apartment, it would be assumed to have two cars, or you need 1.5 spaces for whatever, but that's reduced under the laws of the state. Circumvents local.
The requirement for higher density.
And this was all done under county, which is where a lot of this is coming in, right? They got a variance, the Highlands Point developer, saying people who live in apartments, don't have cars. They use public transit. Well, that's great if you're like
public transit.
Yeah, that one bus that goes down there, right?
Yeah, not in super suburbia. It just doesn't work in San Diego.
Yeah,
it's kind of like saying if people who live in affordable housing can't afford cars, so they're not going to have cars, so they don't need a parking spot for them. But that's not true. It's like saying senior housing, seniors don't have cars. Really?
Does that sound familiar? Isn't that the argument that they're pulling on that structure down there?
Take my car away from him. Take my dad's car away. He's turning 80. There's no way you could take his car away. Of course seniors have cars. So, right?
Not 90 years old.
Exactly. So I think that's a misnomer. But
I wouldn't know about that, but moving on to the next item. Committee members, are there any other comments or issues on that? Okay. Committee member items. Any committee member have any issues? I only have one. If you want a free calendar,
I tried
to get rid of it before.
Okay. I'll take it.
City council liaison. He's not here.
Not here today.
Must have a cold or something. Okay, planning commission.
I don't have anything
no
more to
comments
say.
Today?
We're working on a lot of projects, which I can't talk about, but we're busy. We're busy.
Yeah. Okay.
Double secret. There's
a couple things to do.
Only past projects.
Senior advisor, anything? No, nothing there. Teen council? No, I'm sorry. It's the other I'm sorry. He wears a different jacket. I get confused.
Oh, that's funny.
In that case, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a rare and exciting pleasure tonight.
It's always